Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Yud Ches. Big daf today in the world of Yevamos. Today we introduce ourselves to the topic of Yezika or Ein Zika. It's a fundamental issue, which we'll get to a little bit later on this morning. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf to learn. And today we begin with the second parak. We're back on Yuzayin Amud Aleph, and we're starting with the second parak of the Masechta. And we're reviewing. The first Mishnah taught us that if in the scenario where there's no mitzvah of Yibum, and she's an erva. So, or let's say there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but she has a double erva. So the Mishnah tells us that the erva is exempt. She's going to be punter from the mitzvah of Yibum. And we spent a good portion, most of the first parak dedicated itself to that concept, that the erva, the arayos, other than Eshesach, is going to exempt her from the mitzvah of Yibum. One of the cases, there are 15 cases that were cited in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, and one of the cases is the Eshesach of Shaloya Balama. That if you have two brothers who didn't live in the world together, so and the non-existent brother, yet existent brother, has a Yavama coming to him, a Yavama being proposed to him, a candidate for him, so there's no mitzvah of Yibum, because in order for there to be a candidacy of Yibum, the two brothers had to have lived in the world together. This is known as Eshesach of Shalal Yavama. So the Mishnah over here has one simple question, Ketzad. So what's an example? Give me a scenario of what exactly it is, Eshesach of Shalal Yabalama. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad Eshesach of Shalal Yabalama. Shnei Achim Umeisa Echad Mehem. So let's have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven dies. V'nolad Lahem Ach. And then what happens is Levi is born. And the Mishnah over here is very specific in terms of the case that it demonstrates, that it portrays, and that Levi is born, but only after the death of Reuven, obviously, in other words, that's Eshesach HaShalai B'Olamo, but only before Shimon did the mitzvah of Yibum. And we are going to, whenever we refer to this Mishnah on Yuzayin Amalav, the first Mishnah, the second parak, we're going to call this Mishnah Nolad V'Achar Kach Yibum. In other words, Levi first was born, and then Shimon did Yibum with Reuven's widow. And then Shimon did Yibum with his Yavama, with Reuven's widow. So Umeis, and then Shimon dies. Now what's going to happen? So the Rishona, the first wife. When we say Rishona, we say first wife in that. She is the widow of Reuven. She's now married to Shimon through the mitzvah of Yibum. So she is going to be excused from the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza, because categorically that is Eshesach of Shalal Yabalamo, because she was the wife of the brother that did not coexist together with Levi. Reuven and Levi were never on this planet together. And now what about Shimon's second wife? Right, we're assuming that Shimon had another wife. So as far as the second wife is concerned, so it's Saras Erva. Meaning, if Reuven's wife is an Erva, so Shimon's wife now is Saras Erva. She is a co-wife of an Erva. Okay, Adkan. So what we have now in the Mishnah is a simple illustration of this case of Eshesach HaShalai Yabalamo. I say it's simple, but as we'll see later on, there will be more tomorrow, really more in tomorrow's daf, there'll be more discussion about our Mishnah over here. Now, Asaba Maimer. Let's do the same case over here, but with one variable change, and that is that Shimon didn't marry the Reuven's widow, but Shimon does what was called Maimer. We did Maimer before, but let me explain it once again. Maimer is the idea that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum and HaTorah, so what does the Yavam need to do? Bia. He needs to have relations with his sister-in-law, and that fulfills, that accomplishes the mitzvah of Yibum. Is there any stage in between? The answer is no. No, there's no stage in between. Meaning that when Reuven dies, Shimon, to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, does Bia. Okay, and what the Chachamim wanted is that they wanted this to resemble more like a marriage. So what the Chachamim inserted is a preliminary stage to Yibum. That's called Maimer. Later on in the Masechta, we'll talk more about the details of Maimer, how Maimer actually is accomplished, but that's what's called Maimer. Maimer is a rabbinic institution instituted into the mitzvah of Yibum to make Yibum look a little bit more like marriage. So what is Maimer? So we'll call it Kiddushin. Meaning that's essentially what it is, but it's not. Kiddushin operates on a Daraisa level. Maimer only operates on a Darabanan level. So now let's take a look at our case. Reuven had a wife, Reuven dies. Shimon, the only surviving brother, so Shimon, instead of marrying her as his Yavama, Shimon does what's called Maimer. He does the first stage of Yibum. So on a Durabanan level, he and his Yivama, he and his sister-in-law, are married, but only on a Durabanan level. On a D'Oraisa level, they're nothing. Not nothing, but they're Zekuka. They have a connection through the mitzvah of Yibum, but it's not his wife. Umeis. Now, in this scenario, so we only changed one variable over here, and that is Shimon didn't do Yibum to this woman. Shimon did Mimer to this woman. Now Shimon dies. So Shnia Cholefzit V'lo Misya Bemes. So now, Levi's here in this world. Levi appeared in this world. Well, let's assume, like in the first half of the Mishnah, that Levi came into this world right after Reuven died, before Shimon did anything, before he did, in the second case, before he did Mimer. So now Levi is in this world. Now, we know that Reuven's widow to Levi is prohibited. That's clear. Right. They are Eishes Achir Shalaya Ba'olamo. She is the wife of his brother who was not in this world. So we know Levi cannot marry Reuven's wife, not only cannot marry, she's an erva to him. Okay, that's clear. What about Shimon's wife? Now we need to think about it just a little bit. You see, because with Shimon's wife, right? Now with Shimon's wife, he has the mitzvah of Yibum, and Levi and Shimon lived in the world together. So Shimon's wife is perfectly eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, now here's the problem. So at this juncture, we would simply say, so let Levi do Yibum to Shimon's wife. The problem is that Shimon is kind of married. I know I'm not using technical terms, but that's fine. Shimon is kind of married to Reuven's wife. Kind of. Meaning he did Mimer to her. So at least on a Durabanan level, Shimon has his wife and, to a certain extent, Reuven's wife as well. So Reuven's wife is kind of like a co-wife to Shimon's wife. Kind of. And now the Mishnah says, Shnia Cholefzit V'lo Misya Bemes. So now, if and when Shimon dies, so now what Shimon's wife is going to do is Chalitza, not Yibum. Okay. Why not Yibum? So the answer is because since he did Mimer, since Shimon did Mimer to Reuven's wife, it's as if Reuven's wife, right now Shimon's, now kind of Shimon's wife, and Shimon's wife are co-wives. Right. We know that Reuven's wife is an erva, so that makes Shimon's wife kind of like Tzara's erva. Not enough to just release her from the mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza, but enough to say, we're not going to do Yibum over here. Because she's kind of the co-wife of Reuven's wife. Okay, good. Second case of the Mishnah, admittedly, is complex. It's a little bit more confusing, but truth of the matter is, it's really the same as the first case of the Mishnah, just with one variable change, and that is instead of Shimon doing Yibum, Shimon just did Mimer. And the problem that it creates is that it's a marriage, but not on a D'Oraisa level, only on a D'Rabbanan level. Okay, and that's why in such a scenario, Shimon's Levi, Levi and Reuven, who didn't live in the world together, so Levi is exempt from Reuven's wife, and is not exempt from Shimon's wife, but because Mimer was done by Shimon, so going to be only Chalitza, not Yibum. Right, but... But again, though, in this particular case, now we introduced another brother into the equation, which made it more complicated. Meaning it's not just Reuven and Shimon, now it's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuven and Levi did not exist in this world together, but Shimon and Levi did. So that's why this case is more complicated than what we saw back in the...
The co-wife is not excusing the...
Right, correct, agreed. Okay. Good. So that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah over here just illustrates the case of Eishes Achir Shalaya Ba'olamo, specifically through the example of Nola V'Achar Kach Yibeim. And then the other thing the Mishnah accomplishes is that it introduces us to the idea of Mimer and what the consequence, what the fallout of Mimer is going to be. The Gemara starts off Amar Rav Nachman Mandatni Rishon Lo Mishtabish and Mandatni Shnia Lo Mishtabish. Okay, the discussion of the Gemara is a really technical discussion, and that is the Girsa of the Mishnah. The Girsa we have in the Mishnah is, we're going back to the first case of the Mishnah, where Reuven's married to a woman, Reuven dies, before Shimon does anything, Levi's born, then Shimon does Yibum to Reuven's wife, and then Shimon dies, so what does the Mishnah say? Harishona, the language of our Mishnah is, Harishona Yosef Mishum Eishasachiv Shalai Belamo, and Shnei Mishum Tzarasa. Okay, so the first wife, when we say the first wife, we mean the wife of Reuven is exempt because she's Eishasachiv Shalai Belamo, and the second one, meaning Shimon's wife, co-wife. Good. That's the Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abnachman Dini Rishona Lo Mishabish Man Dini Shnei Lo Mishabish. There are two different girsos in the Mishnah, and the truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, they both work. Mandidni Rishona, when the Mishnah says Rishona, we're now on the top of Yizanim and Beis Lamishabish, that's it's not a corrupt version of the Mishnah. My Rishona Lenefila, meaning she was the first one who fell, meaning she was the first one who experienced the Yibum scenario. Mandidni Shnia, on the other hand, you could also say that the correct use in the Mishnah is Shnia, describing the same woman but using the word Shnia. Lamishabish, my Shnia, Shnia Lenesuin. And Shnia is because she's the second one into the marriage, meaning that she married the second man, who was already married once before. And so Shimon already has a wife, and now this is Shimon's second wife. Okay, so that's why this same woman, meaning Reuven's widow, could be referred to as the Shnia. So the Gemara says, Milo askin and diavam v'achar kach tanas. So the Gemara says, okay, but what you're doing is you're making an assumption in the Mishnah. You're assuming that the Mishnah is describing a scenario where Shimon was already married and he took her as the Yavama. Doesn't have to be. It could be that Shimon first did the mitzvah of Yibum, and then after doing Yibum and being married, he's like, you know, I could do this marriage thing. So then he picks up a second wife. So it doesn't have to be that Reuven's widow is the second wife. So the Gemara says, Ela my Shnia, Shnia b'nisuin. So the Gemara says, okay, so you could say that Shnia, because this is her second marriage. That's all.
She was married to Reuven first.
She was married to Reuven, now she's married to Levi. I'm sorry, married to Shimon. Okay. So now the Gemara, very simple Gemara, very straightforward Gemara, basic. Where does this idea come from? That if two brothers don't coexist in the world together, they're brothers, they just didn't know each other. Know each other meaning they did what they weren't on the planet together, so therefore there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Where does that come from? So the Gemara answers, Go to the beginning of the mitzvah of Yibum, found in Parshas Ki Seitzei, and the Pasuk says, the brothers are there, yachtav, they're together. Shaisa lehem yeshiva achas ba'olam. They were together in the world. Prad le'eshes achas shalai ya'bo'olamo. So which is an exclusion to brothers who were not there in the world. Meaning, Reuven died, and only after the death of Reuven, Levi is born. So there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so what does that mean? It means that there's just an erva, because it is his brother. So it's Eish Yisach, but there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So, Shalom Ya Balama. Yachdav, now we're darshaning the word Yachdav, Miyuchadim Anachala. So, meaning they have to share a Nachala, they have to share an inheritance. Pralechim Minaim. If you are maternal brothers, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. It has to be paternal brothers. How do I know that? Because Yachdav means that we're sharing a destiny. And in this case, destiny is translated as money, meaning we're going to share the inheritance. So if we share the same father, we're going to share the inheritance. If we share the same mother, but not our father, we're not sharing the same inheritance. Rabba says, I have a different source for this halacha, that paternal brothers are subject to the mitzvah of Yibum, not maternal brothers. How do I know that? We have a gzera shava going back to the brothers of Yaakov. The sons of Yaakov. The sons of Yaakov, what did they share? They shared a father. But the 12 of them did not share the same mother. So the Gemara says, as long as you're making a gzera shava, why not connect it to Erva? Done in Achim, and we know by Arayos, the term Achva is used, and we also know by Arayos that a maternal sibling is just as prohibited as a paternal sibling. So the Gemara says, Done in Achim, Achim, ain't done in Achim, Achecha. So the Gemara says, well, it's a better Gzeir Shava. The words fit together better between the Achim of Yibum in Parshas Ki Seitzei and the Achim mentioned by the Bnei Yaakov. So my nafkamina, hatana de bei Rabbi Yishmael, vashava kona vahakoin zu shiva zuhu biya. So the Gemara quotes this line often, and that is, when it comes to Gzeira Shava, the word doesn't even have to be the identical same word. As long as the two words are communicating the same idea, So then you could create a gzeirah shava. Okay, see there. See the Gemara elsewhere. I'm sure I say this every time. See the Gemara elsewhere for details of that particular halacha in the world of tzaras. But in the meantime, however, the point of the Gemara is you can make a gzeirah shava even if the words are the same. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but that's if there's no option. If there's an option of creating a quote-unquote better gzeirah shava, where it's a better match, so then we'll turn to the better match. The Gemara says, okay, but there seems to be another place where we can learn achva, and that's from the incident of Lot. So the Gemara says, you see the word achim mentioned in description of Lot and Avraham. They are anashim achim. So what the Gemara is saying is maybe there's even consideration even for an uncle, because that was the relationship between Lot and Avraham, and yet the Torah describes them as being achim. So the Gemara says, no, Bnei Yaakov is a better gzeir shavah because of the idea of mufne. And that is, it says, Shneimasar avadecha Bnei Avinu. Right? This is when the Bnei Yaakov were speaking to Yosef. We were 12, and we could have just simply said, Bnei Avinu. But Ksiv Achim, and meanwhile they describe themselves as brothers. If we're all from the same father, obviously they're brothers. So the word now becomes superfluous. So once you have a word in the Torah that's superfluous, it creates a better gzeirah shava. Now the Gemara points out that really both words give us the implication that the mitzvah of Yibam is only for paternal brothers. But why do I need two drushes? The Gemara says they're necessary. Because if I only had the word achim, maybe I would have gone to Lot, which would have told me that there was a mitzvah of Yibam even for an uncle and nephew. And maybe you'll tell me, well, maybe there it's not superfluous. Maybe it's not superfluous. The Gemara says, no, it is superfluous. Because could have just used the description of Re'im, that we're close, we're friends, uksiv achim, and instead using the word achim, shema minal afnuye. So maybe over there, the whole purpose of that pasuk by Avram and Lot was to give us a description that achim in the world of Yibam can be qualified as uncle and nephew. So Kazrachman Yachtav, Amiyachadem Menachalah. So that's why I have the word Yachtav to tell me that we share the same inheritance. The E Kazrachman Yachtav. Now, if all I had was the word Yachtav, Hava Amina Demi Yachtav, Abu Ve'ima, I might have thought that it's not sufficient to be just paternal brothers. Maybe you have to be paternal and maternal brothers. The Gemara says, really? What a strange hava mean. Why would I have thought that? So because we know that Yibam is all a function of Nachla. This is an idea that we're going to see a number of times over the course of the Masechta, the relationship between the mitzvah of Yibam and inheritance. We'll speak more about it later on. So the Gemara says, but once I know that there's an inherent connection between Yibam and Nachla, so then automatically I would have known that the mitzvah of Yibam is only at paternal brothers. And why would I have thought that I need to be paternal and maternal? That we need to share the same mother and father? That why would I have had the Havamina? So the Gemara explains, Gemara explains wonderfully. Gemara says, look, Yibam is a mitzvah, but also you are neglecting, you are bypassing an arayas, an erev in the Torah. So I would have thought, okay, on one hand, Yibam is a mitzvah. On the other hand, she's an erev. So I would have thought that the connection between me and my brother have to be so strong that we have to have both the same father and the same mother, and then and only then do I get to bypass the iser erev of Eishes Ach. That's the Havamin. The Maskan is no, that the double drasha of both Achim and Yachtav tells us that we have to, on one hand, share the same father, but on the other hand, we only have to share the same father. We don't have to have the same father and the same mother. And the double drasha arises, gets us to that conclusion.
You can go the other way. If you share the same, it's a bigger arayah.
Right, right. Very good, uh-huh. Very good. That the arayahs get stronger.
Right.
Right. We're talking how the mitzvah of Yibam gets stronger. And very good, very good. And we could talk about how the erva also becomes stronger. Okay, now I get to breathe. I get a moment to pause as we're about to enter into the Zika discussion of the Gemara and really today's daf. But just to quickly recap, we have in our Mishnah a more in-depth look of the of the Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo, one of the 15 cases mentioned in the first Mishnah. We're now in the second paragraph of Yevamos. We're exploring a little bit deeper, where the brothers have to be in the world together. They have to coexist on this planet. If they do not, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. How do I know that? So, to put it quite simply, drasha, where the Gemara just went through a series of drashas that teach us that the brothers have to coexist. If there's a svar, if there's a rationale behind it, perhaps, but right now, for all intents and purposes, the Gemara gave us a drasha to arrive us at the conclusion. That is a very, very short recap of this discussion. Okay, we are about, not about, we are now on the threshold of discussing the topic of Zika. So let me just give a brief introduction, and then we're going to get into the Gemara itself. In every scenario of Yibam, we described this on the first day of the of Yevamos. So Yibam is a fascinating concept in that you didn't create the Shidduch. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Shidduch. Generally speaking, in the world of marriage, in the world of husband and wife, so you search and you find. And God willing, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be an assistance, but basically you're making the choice of who's going to be your mate for life. In the world of Yibam, so you made no decisions, meaning you didn't decide who your brother was going to be, you didn't decide who your brother's going to marry, and you certainly didn't decide that your brother's going to die. And meanwhile, everything came together, and now you're looking at a woman where the Torah is telling you, okay, marry her. Well, I didn't have a say in the matter. Okay, good, you didn't have a say in the matter. But they have a mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, so granted, there's a way out, which is called Chalitza, but good, you have a mitzvah of Yibam. So now, that obviously connects you, even before you do anything, that connects you to that woman. Meaning the widow of your brother now and you are bound together through a mitzvah called Yibam. That connection between you and that woman, from this point going forward, we're going to call a Zika. Zika, the word Zika, by the way, comes from the, we say it every morning, Pesukah de Zimra. Lesor b'zikim. What does Lesor b'zikim mean? We're bound up together in chains. Okay? In the Pesukah de Zimra, in Pesukah of Tehillim. So the word Zika means basically, we're chained. Okay. I know in the vaudevillian humor, the wife is referred to as the ball and chain. But in this regard, it is. Meaning you are really, you're chained to her. Now, what you could do is, you could fortify it by doing the mitzvah of Yibam, or you could break the chain by doing the mitzvah of Chalitza. Okay. I'm using the word mitzvah over here loosely when it comes to Chalitza, but we'll talk more about that later in the Masechta. Actually, we'll speak a little bit about today. Okay. Now, good. So all I did really is just describe what Zika is. But to what degree does Zika have an effect on the relationship between you and that woman? Meaning, now there's a Zika. There is a bond between you and that woman. Before talking, obviously, before you did Yibam. After the death of the brother, before you did Yibam, you're bonded to that woman, you're connected to that woman. Is that bond now like marriage? Meaning, there's a mitzvah in waiting. There's a woman in waiting. But at this juncture, at this point in time, are you and the woman now in this Yavama? Is the Yavama and Yavama, are they like married? Now, we know for sure they're not married. That we know for sure. But on the other hand, because of the mitzvah of Yibam that's lying in wait, maybe the relationship is such that you and her are quasi-husband and wife. Let's put it in these terms, and this is where we're going to be starting the discussion. Let's say that he had a Yavam and a Yavama. He didn't perform the mitzvah of Yibam yet, and she dies. Rachman al-Etzlan. She dies. Can he marry her mother?
Oh, sister.
Can he marry her sister?
No, sister, yeah, because she's dead.
Right.
But can he marry the sister before he makes Yibam?
Okay, that's good.
Even
if she's alive.
Right.
Meaning, now you understand, well, the Zika obviously connected the two. To what degree are we talking about this kind of connection? Let's start the Gemara. Am Ravuna Marav. Shomer Yisrael and Shemesa. So we start exactly with the scenario that I just laid out. I kind of knew it was coming, so that's why I started with that example. So Shomer Yisrael and Shemesa, Mutar B'Ima. So the Ravuna quotes in the name of Rav, that if I have a Shomer Yisrael and she dies, so Mutar B'Ima. So the Yavam, who's no longer a Yavam, because his Yavama died, is allowed to marry the Yavama's mother. She is not an heir of it to him. That means that there was no connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. Now, when I say no connection, I mean that even though there was a mitzvah in waiting that didn't create a status between the Yavam and the Yavama, and if, God forbid, the Yavama dies, so now the Yavam is eligible to marry all the relatives of the Yavama because it wasn't his wife. Alma kasavra ein zika. The Gemara puts it in very succinct terms, ein zika. There is no connection. The zika bond that is created between the Yavam and the Yavama has no status to it whatsoever, as if they're not married. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Gemara turns its attention to Ravuna Marav. Why don't you just simply say Ein Zika? Meaning, that's exactly the point. So instead of giving me an example, why don't you give me the principle and just simply say Ein Zika? And Rashi points out, we're going to see it later on this morning, that there are Tanaim who already take the position of Ein Zika, and so... And you can take a look at Rashi, but I'll tell you what, we're going to do this anyway later on this morning, so I'm going to bypass Rashi for now. And why don't you just simply tell me the principle of Ein Zika? So the Gemara says, I might have thought that this principle of Ein Zika applies when there are two surviving brothers. Think about it, right? It's a great concept, meaning, and the more you think about it, and the more we engage in this discussion, you'll see how this concept of Ein Zika or Yesh Zika works. Look, let's start off with a simple case where there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's married to a woman, Reuven dies. Okay? Shimon now has a mitzvah of Yibum. And he has no competitors. Right? He's not vying against anybody else for the love of this woman. And I say love, by the way, I'm taking emotion out of this, meaning he's a brother-in-law, she's a sister-in-law, and that's it. And there's a mitzvah of Yibum, and that's it. So there one can make the argument, okay, that Zika bond is strong, but now let's introduce another brother. So let's say it's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven's married to this woman, Reuven dies. And now Shimon and Levi have the mitzvah of Yibum. Now we know by Sechad, only one of the brothers obviously is going to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. So here you have a dilution of the Zika, because either one could do it. You could have made the argument that I can hear in a case where there are two surviving brothers, that ain't Zika. Because truth of the matter is, either one of them could do it. How can you tell me about a bond between the two of them if only one of them is going to marry? So the Gemara's argument is that, look, if I just said ain't Zika, I would have limited to the scenario where there were two surviving brothers. But not if there was one surviving brother. Avabachad yesh Zika. But I made the argument that if there's one surviving brother, so then there's a Zika, which would have put them in the category of husband, of quasi-husband and wife. So the Gemara says, if that's what you were trying to avoid, so again, just say it. Just say that there's no Zika, even if there's one surviving brother. So the Gemara says, no. If I would have said Ein Zika, and I would have said Ein Zika, even if there's only one surviving brother, I still may have came up with an erroneous conclusion. I would have thought Ein Zika means nothing. That there is simply no connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. And let's say he looks at his Yavama and he says, you know, I'm not really interested in my Yavama, but I am interested in her mother. Okay, I know this is strange, but it's okay, just to illustrate the point of the Gemara. Okay, so he's not interested in the Yavama's mother. So I might have thought that if I took the principle of Ein Zika to its logical conclusion, there's no problem with me marrying her mother. I'll marry the Yavama's mother. And what about the mitzvah of Yibum? It'll fall away. Because now, what is this Yavama to me? She's an Erva. Not just Eishes Ach, but now, Bas Ishto. She's the daughter of my wife. So I might have thought that this Ein Zika position could be taken to its logical conclusion, which is that even after she becomes the Yavama, I can marry any one of her relatives. And what about the mitzvah of Yibum? Not here. So the Gemara says, that's what I would have thought, and so therefore what Rav Huna Marav says is that no. While the Yavama is alive, you can't marry one of her relatives. Now why not? So let's read that line again in the Gemara. It's an important line in the Gemara. Also levato mitzvahs Yavamim. Because what you cannot do is that you cannot put yourself in a position where you're going to end up negating the mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning you didn't violate a single halacha at this juncture, at this point in time. You are totally entitled to marry her mother on a deraisa level and derabana level. But in doing so, you're going to be mevatel, you're going to be nullifying the mitzvah of Yibum. That's what we don't want. We don't want to nullify the mitzvah of Yibum. That's why, while the Yibum is alive, either you do Yibum or you do Chalitza. But what you can't do is put yourself in a situation where the mitzvah is just going to fall away. Okay.
If another brother does Yibum, then...
Correct. Then it'll be fine. Okay. The Zika will go away. Okay, Tanan, Yivim Toshim Mesa Motabacho, so the Mishnah, we're going to see this Mishnah later on, describes a scenario where the Yavama dies, so you're allowed to marry the Yavama sister. So, right, Yavama, classic scenario. So Shimon is looking at his brother's widow for the mitzvah of Yibum. She dies, says the Mishnah. He, Shimon, can marry the Yavama sister. Okay, so Bachos and Bimalo. But you'll notice, however, that the Mishnah gives a very specific example where we're talking about the Yavama's sister, but not the Yavama's mother. And Rav Huna Rav says that you can marry the Yavama's mother. No, who didn't feel about a be'ima? So the Gemara says that don't make such a deal. He can marry really his mother. So I did the Tani Reisha Yishto Shemesa Motor Bachoso Bachoso in Avabi Imalo Davila Yisra Daraisa Tani Nami Sefer Motor Bachoso. But you got to take a look at the Mishnah over there, where the Mishnah gives a description of if it's Ishto, if it's one's wife and one's wife dies, you can marry the wife's sister, because as we've discussed now a number of times, that erva goes away, as opposed to any other erva where that doesn't go away. You can't marry your wife, any of your deceased wife's, any other relative of your deceased wife. But you're allowed to marry your wife's sister. That erva goes away. Rashi quotes the pasuk, Aleha bechayehu. Only when the sisters are alive is she an erva. Okay, so far what do we have right now? The opinion of Rav Huna Marab, which says, Ein Zika. That there is no Zika. Contrast now, Rav Yehuda Amar, Shemaris Yavam Shemesa, Asr Be'ima, that a Shemaris Yavam who dies, so the Yavam cannot marry her mother. Why? Amakasavi Ezika. Simple reason. Because he takes the other side of this position and he holds that there is a Zika. And again, just think about it. What that means is that because he was in the position where she was a candidate for him for Yibum, so that means that was a bond, and the way Rev Yehuda understands a bond, it creates a marriage status. We're not saying they were married. They were not married. But it creates enough status so we treat them as if they were married, so that if, God forbid, she dies, he can't marry any of her relatives. Why? Because it's the relative of his Zikuka. Okay.
If he does,
oh, very good. Right? Hold that question. We're going to come back to that later. So the Gemara says, Amakasavi Yeshika, Valeh Malachi Devarama Yeshika. And again, Gemara over here is bothered by the same question. Just say it. Just say Yeshika. Valeh Malachi Devarama Yeshika, Yahava Amar Hachi Yahava Amin Hani Milbechad. I would have thought that there's a Zika, but only when there's one surviving brother. Aval, betray, but if there are two surviving brothers, again, it's the same idea that we presented just a couple minutes ago. I might have thought that with two surviving brothers, that's a dilution of the Zika, since either one of them can be a candidate for Yibum. So, ain Zika, vahaki, pligi, betray, pligi. So the Gemara points out, yeah, but the Mishnayos later on are going to be describing a scenario where there are two surviving brothers, and whoever holds that there's a Zika holds it, even if there are two surviving brothers. So, Ella Yamar Hachi, Havamina Michayim, Avalacha Misa, Paka La Zika, Kamash Milan, De Zika Bechti Lo Paka. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why he can't just simply say Yezika. If Rav Yehuda would have said Yezika, I might have thought as a Havamina, good. That's when she's alive. Then we're going to say Yezika. But after she's dead, if she died and there was no kiyum of Yibam or Chalitza, so then I might have thought, okay, Zika's gone. The Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is that the Zika will always be there, even post-mortem. Even if, God forbid, she dies, there's still going to be a Zika, which would prohibit him, the Yavam, from marrying any of his Yavama's relatives. Of course, barring the sister. Sister would be okay. Lema Misayele. So the Gemara says, okay, well, how about this? Let's try this as a support. Yivim Toshim Mesa Motor Bachoso. Same Mishnah we just saw a couple lines ago. That the Yavama that dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. And we can be Medayik. He can marry her sister, but not the mother of his Yavama. The Gemara says no. Who adin dafila beima vaidid tanerisha ishto shemesa motu barchosa dafka barchosa avamim alo davila yisura daraisa taninami sefer motu barchosa. So the Gemara says again, if you look at that Mishnah in its totality, you will see the Mishnah has to use the description of a sister, because the Mishnah is contrasting. What if your wife dies? What if your Yavama dies? If your wife dies, the only one eligible will be your sister-in-law. If your Yavama dies, that's why the Mishnah over there describes the sister of the Yavama. But who adinami, the same thing would be true, the mother of your Yavama, etc., etc. Okay, so where do we stand right now? We have a very basic Machlokas Amarayim, which we're going to learn later this morning. It's also Machlokas Tanayim. That Machlokas Amarayim is, to what degree is the Zika between a brother-in-law and his sister-in-law? Between the Yavam and the Yavama, to what degree does that create status of marriage? If you take the position of Ein Zika, which right now we have as Rav Huna Amarav, if you take the position of Ein Zika, that means that there's no status that's created between the Yavam and the Yavama. Obviously, there's a mitzvah. Obviously, there's a mitzvah opportunity. But just because there's a mitzvah opportunity does not mean there's any status. There is no status. And if, God forbid, the Yavama dies, so then he can marry any one of her relatives, her sister, her mother, etc., etc. Whereas, according to Rav Yehuda, Yesh Zika. There is a Zika, which means that there is a status that's created. If a Yavam and a Yavama have candidacy for Yibum, that candidacy creates a status, and therefore they are quasi-married, and therefore, if God forbid, the Yavama dies, he can't marry any of her relatives. Oh, he can marry the sister, but he could have done that had it been his wife as well.
And whose name is Rabbi Yehuda saying that? Because there's a sin of Rav, so how could you argue
stay,
with Rav?
Stay tuned. The Gemara, very good, very good. Gemara later on will address your very question. Meis Rav Huna Bar Chiya, we're back in the Gemara, on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Rav Huna Bar Chiya asked the following question. Asa ba maimer o meishnei cholefzit v'lo misyabemis. So we return back to our Mishnah. Let's review the case in the Mishnah one more time, and then we'll see how the Gemara is going to analyze this Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah is describing a case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo. Our Mishnah is describing where Reuven's married to a woman, Reuven dies. After the death of Reuven, another brother is born into the family. Levi is born. What Shimon does now to his brother's wife, to Reuven's widow, is he does Mimer. Mimer is that rabbinic institution where it's like Kiddushin. The Mishnah says under such circumstances, if Shimon were to die, Shimon now is leaving one real widow and one quasi-widow. Right? Because Reuven's wife, which he did Mimer to, is not his wife on a Torah level, but is his wife on a Derabbanan level. So Shimon now is leaving two widows, one real, one quasi. What does the Mishnah say? That Levi will do chalitza with Shimon's real widow. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara makes a diuk, and the diuk is very straightforward. And once you have the case down clearly, the diuk is obvious. Taima da'avad ba'maimer. This case only actualizes because Shimon did maimer to Reuven's widow. Halo avad ba'maimer shnei nami yavum miyavma. But if Shimon didn't do Mimer, so now there would seem to be no connection between Reuven's widow and Shimon. Right. And that would then give a clear indication of Ein Zika. Perfect. If you took the position of Zika, that there is a Zika, so then one would imagine that, not imagine, so that would mean then that when Shimon dies, he's really leaving two widows. Again, one on an actual level and one on a quasi-level, but who cares? It's a quasi-widow. The fact that in the Mishnah, by the Mishnah having to introduce Mimer into the equation, that means that she only becomes connected to Shimon through Mimer. But short of that, there is zero connection, and that means that Levi would be entitled to do even Yibum to Shimon's widow.
It's like a quasi-sarat connection.
Correct. It's correct. So Amar Rabba, so the Gemara now is going to defend. So right now we have a Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the second Perek, which seems to indicate that there is no Zika, Ein Zika. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Uadin Dafak Avdolava Ba Maimer. Shnei Amach Les Chaleses Yivum Alomi Abma. So Rabba says, no. our Mishnah could be even describing a scenario where Shimon did not do Maimer. And still, she is connected to Shimon. She is a quasi-widow of Shimon, so that when Shimon dies, if and when Shimon dies, Levi now will only do Chalitza to Shimon's actual widow, and not Yibum, because of the quasi-connection that Shimon had with Reuven's widow. The Hadik Tani Maimer, and so, and this question comes up in every single Mishnah, so why doesn't the Mishnah give the biggest Chiddush? That would be such a bigger Chiddush, if that even if Shimon didn't do Maimer, Shimon is connected to Reuven's wife through the Zika. Why didn't the Mishnah describe that? Why did the Mishnah happen to introduce Maimer? So the Gemara says, La'afuke me be shamai, da'amri Maimer kona, kinyan gamor, because the Mishnah wanted to teach us something about Maimer. And that is, Maimer is not a kinyan. There is an opinion. Now, it happens to be Beis Shammai's opinion, and it happens to be that we never accept, not never, but when Beis Shammai's position is rejected, it is fully rejected. But still, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Maimer is a kinyan gamor, and that would mean then that if, according to Beis Shammai, if Shimon did Maimer to this woman, it is his wife, it is his widow, and that would then mean that when Shimon dies, he's leaving two widows, one to Levi, who is an erva, Eishes Achiv Shelah Yabolamo, and then the co-wife of an erva. So according to Beis Shammai, both of them would be exempt totally. Now, parenthetically, by the way, if you're really following me, you will understand this next sentence. Parenthetically, if we're really holding like Beis Shammai, the co-wife of an erva is mutter. Okay, fine. That's not unimportant, but right now we're just simply pointing out that our Mishnah is interested in negating the opinion of Beit Shammai and Kamash Malan.
It's mutar, but it's not required.
No, what? I mean, you could do either Yibam or Chalitza. Again, just that was a parenthetical note. Okay, leave it alone. Esve Abaye. Okay, so our Mishnah, although on the surface our Mishnah seems to be supporting the position of Ein Zika, the Gemara says no. You can even say our Mishnah is of the opinion Yeshika. Esve Abaye challenges Shnei Achim ba'olam echad u'meisecha mehem b'lo vlad v'amar Hashem yazel lasos maimer b'yevimta v'lo hispik lasos ba'maimer achanola lo ach. So it's a brisa. It basically is describing the same scenario that we're looking at. Reuven was married, Reuven dies. Shimon was about to do Maimer, but before Shimon did anything, right? Mom had another child. Okay? And comes into the world a new brother, Levi. Umes har umes. And now Shimon dies. So and Shimon did nothing. Umes. So the first wife, meaning Reuven's widow, so what does Reuven do? What does he do with Reuven's wife? Nothing. There's no mitzvah v'yibum. And therefore it's eshetach. And it's an erva. And what does he do with Shimon's wife? It's not a co-wife. And he does, says a brayso, he does either chalitz or yibum. Good. Now the question should be staring you right in the face. If you took the position that there's a Zika, so again, if we hold that there's a Zika, that would mean then that there's a bond, there's a connection between the widow of Reuven and Shimon. It is quasi-Shimon's widow. And that means that when Shimon dies, he's really leaving two wives, one actual and one quasi. But at least on the quasi level, shouldn't now that create a Sarah, a co-wife, some degree of co-wife connection between the two wives? And yet the Brisa says that Levi, for Shimon's widow, can do either Yibam or Chalitza. That would seem to totally support the position Ein Zika. Hamani, Rabbi Meir, Damar Ein Zika. So the Gemara says, okay, that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir.
Why not Rabbi Shimon?
Wait just one second. So that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. And what basically now the Gemara is introducing us is to the idea that not only is this issue of Yeshika Ein Zika Machlokas Amaraim, which we have already been introduced to as Rav Huna versus Rav, but also it's a Machlokas Tanaim as well. So you pointed to a Mishnah, but that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Umisrael Ele Rabbi Meir Ein Zika V'atanan. So the Gemara says, really, Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika? The Gemara says, consider the following Mishnah. Arba Achim Shnayim Mehem Nesum Shtei Achayos. Here we go. We're gonna see so many of these types of cases in the second, third, fourth parakim of the Masechta. And we're just gonna get used to it. All these construct scenarios. You have four brothers. Two of the four brothers are married to two sisters. Umezu and Estum Ha'achayos. And then two of the brothers died. The two were married to the two sisters. And now these two sisters become eligible for Yibum for the two surviving brothers. Now, so you'll say, obviously, one brother cannot marry both sisters. Obviously. But think about it. How about having one brother marry one sister and the other brother marrying the other sister? That would seemingly be okay. Hari elu cholzos velo misyavmos. The Mishnah says, no. The two surviving brothers are going to do chalitza and they're not going to do yibum. Now, if Rav Meir happens to be of the opinion of Ein Zika, Hanimitre Bate Kasyan, these two widows are coming from two different husbands. So wouldn't the better solution be having one surviving brother do Yibam to one sister, having the other surviving brother do Yibam to the other sister?
Assuming there's no Zika.
And if the premise is Ein Zika, that would seem to be the better solution. La'olam Ein Zika. And the Gemara deflects. And the Gemara says no. Really, the author of the statement, which the Gemara assumes is Rabbi Meir, really holds Ein Zika. And so, why not? Why not each one of them do Yibum to one of the sisters? Mishum dekasav asa levatam mitzvah yivamim. The Gemara says, because again, this is the second time today we see this idea that you can't negate the mitzvah of Yibum. Don't push yourself in a situation where Yibum is going to fall away. Now, how would that apply over here? I know this is going to be strange, but listen carefully. Because what may end up happening is one of them will do Yibam to one, and then the other sister may die. The kabitalta mitzvah yivamim. And now, if the...
Sister?
No, I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, when he did Yibam to one of the sisters, maybe the other brother died, leaving him now, the other sister, to do the mitzvah of Yibum. But he can't. It's Achos Ishto, it's his wife's sister. So he can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So because of that concern, so therefore, they're both going to do Chalitza. Now, good. Everyone should be wondering, this is not that long ago, we did Yuma. Everyone should be wondering, we're not generally concerned about death. Death is an eventuality. Death happens to all of us. Understood. But in terms of a halachic concern, are we concerned with death? Remember the beginning of Yuma where we had that discussion? So, right. So, correct. And absolutely correct. And Tosus is bothered by that. And, okay, so see Tosus. Tosus is bothered by it. For now, I'm going to send you Tosus Dilma de Mayabim Chad Mayis Idach, where Tosus has a discussion of why over here are we worried about such a scenario when generally in halacha we're not worried. See there for that discussion.
Either one. So you're not negating.
So it's clear from the Gemara. No, Phil's making a very good point. I'm going to stress it. It's clear from the Gemara that when you're doing chalitza, that is a yibum. That's an accomplishment of yibum. Chalitza is better, meaning it's more two chalitzas. That's a perfect equation. No, but he's right. He's absolutely right. I love it. Two chalitzas is greater than one yibum.
Okay. Two mitzvah.
Okay, in other words, because it's clear from this Gemara that chalitza is serving as a mitzvah. Yeah, yeah. The ein zika tibatel. So the Gemara says, okay, so what? All right, I love when the Gemara asks this question. So what? Okay, so you missed out on the mitzvah of yibum. The Gemara says, ha rabin gamliel amar ein zika umutal avata mitzvah yivamim didnan. Now the Gemara points out, look, I'll show you rabin gamliel. Doesn't bother him. Let's look at this scenario. Rabbi Gamliel Omer imiana miana, the imlo miana tamtim ashtigada v'tetzal azum mishum achos isha. The Rabbi Gamliel describes the following scenario. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here illustrates the scenario. Shnei achim nesum shnei achayos. Two brothers are married to two sisters. Achas gadol v'achas katana. Now in this scenario, one of the wives is an adult, and the other one of the sisters. Sorry. One of the sisters is an adult and the other sister is a minor, married off by either a mother or a sibling. Omeis bala shegedola. And now, complex scenario, perplexing scenario, where the one married to the older sister dies. And now, Nafla Lifnei Bal HaKetana. And now the one married to the minor is on one hand married to his wife, but only on a rabbinic level. And has now a Yibam opportunity with an adult. Okay, what do you do? Malandim is a katana la main bebala olakron is doing kedei liabe mezu shizika sushozu chamura less or a katana alav. Fascinating, right? According to the Tanakama over there, you're going to tell the you're going to tell the surviving brother, listen, your marriage to your wife. In other words, no, take emotion out of the discussion, and just look at it halakhically. Your marriage to your wife is on a derabana level. Your mitzvah of Zika, that's on a daraisa level. We're going to tell your wife to do mian, to dissolve the marriage, and you'll do now the mitzvah of Yibam. Yeah, good. I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you. I get it. Okay, yes, correct. It hasn't been that long ago. Right, let's just finish up the scenario. Shalai and Isu, Gemorim Shema Tema'im, Lakach Lo Tosi Azum Mishim Achos Isha. Okay. And then that's the Tanakama's position. And now let's see the Mishnah inside. Let's go back to the Gemara. Rami Gamliel Omer I Miana Miana. So Rami Gamliel says, look, she wants to do Mian, that's fine. On a volitional level. But V'imlo Miana Tamte Mashitagda V'teitzel Ezum Mishim Achos Isha. But she wants to stay with you, let her stay with you. And she'll grow up, and eventually she'll become your wife on a Daraisa level. What about the Yavama? That's it. The mitzvah of Yibam will go away because she is the sister of your now fully married wife. So what do you see from Rami Gamliel? The mitzvah of Yibam is going to go away? Okay, it'll go away.
If you say there's a Zika there, can that marriage be...
So wait just one second. I'm related to Rami Gamliel, the Rabbi Meir Karamis. So the Gemara says, okay, good. You know what you just did? You asked a question on Rabbi Meir based on the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay. Rabbi Gamliel holds one thing, Rabbi Meir holds another thing. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, you see how strange we are? They're both entertaining the idea of Ein Zika, and meanwhile, Rabbi Meir is worried about a possible death, and Rabbi Gamliel is not worried at all. I feel it's fake, Rabbi Gamliel. I feel levad lo chayish. Dema man lo chayish. I feel levad lo chayish. Dema man lo chayish. I feel it's fake chayish. So the Gemara says, again, we're talking about two different tanaim, and maybe that's 100% correct. Rabbi Meir is worried about the remote chance that the other brother is going to die, and you're going to lose the mitzvah of Yibam. And Rabbi Gamliel, who holds Ein Zika, is holding Ein Zika to the point where even if I know for sure that the mitzvah of Yibam is going to go away, okay, let it go away. Okay, fine. So in other words, the Gemara is just simply saying, don't pit Rabbi Gamliel against Rabbi Meir. They're two different Tanaim who are subscribing to two different viewpoints within Ein Zika. Okay, let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the bottom.